The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
And good evening and welcome to the second hour of Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday night, September 21st, 2014, broadcasting from the lovely studios at WGBB 1240 AM in West Babylon, Long Island. I'm Gary Harding, and here with John Panarese, and behind the glass, of course, as always, is our engineer, Brian Graves. Tonight, we're having another one of those coffee clutches with the GM, as Gar Snow will be joining us tonight in about 7 or 8 minutes or so to preview the 43rd and last season at the Nassau Coliseum for the New York Islanders. We're going to pick his brain about the lineup, the new arrivals, the rookies that have impressed the brass so far. We'll talk about the games that are coming this week, especially the one at Brooklyn on Friday, and see what's in store for Islander fans this upcoming season. John and I will talk about the team in the second half hour, as well as preview the other two New York local teams and finish out the hour. We will also take calls in the second half hour show, so if you want to give us a shout, the number here, of course, as always, is 631-888-8811, or you can tweet at SportsTalk1240, or you can tweet me at aisle section 317, or you can go to our Facebook page and give us some questions. So, John, now you haven't been here for a while, so how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I guess I was left in capable hands with John Sweeney filling in for me the last time.
Yeah, he did. He did a capable job. I mean, he's not you, John.
Well, nobody is.
Nobody, no, definitely nobody is John Panarese. That's for sure. And
thank God.
You got that thinking cap on, right?
Yeah, I think so.
We're ready to go.
Trying to get back into the swing of things here.
Yeah, I mean, it's been for us close to 4 months, you know, and a lot of things happened. A few interesting moves, some nice acquisitions, I believe. And just as Jake was saying in the first hour of Sports Talk 1240, he thinks we're a playoff team. And frankly, I feel the same way too. I mean, I think we're gonna if everything works right and the stars line up right the right way and the injury bug doesn't
well,
hit us.
That's the big thing.
The injury bug hurt this team last year big time, and we all know that. And you know, if they can keep on a level head and have their stars in the lineup the way they do. I mean, a lot of the prognosticators and you know in the hockey world have JT as again a possibility for both not only the Hart Trophy but the Art Ross Trophy as well. So they think that. And by the way, happy birthday to him. He turned 24 yesterday.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That's yes, right. Happy birthday, JT. So we hope that these things will move on. I mean, I went to rookie camp last week and got to see a bunch of the young kids. And I'll tell you, when you actually sit there and you actually watch guys like Josh Hosang and Michael Del Cal and of course, Griffin and Ryan Pulock and a bunch of those young guys, they're going to make the decision-making for Garth and his staff pretty difficult.
Yeah, it's a good thing to have that much talent.
It is a very good thing. I mean, obviously it's been built up over the last couple of seasons and a lot of guys have had a chance to really build up their careers. Again, we use Griffin as the example, you know, going all the way to the Memorial Cup with Edmonton last year. And now at the age of 20, he's going to get his chance. I mean, and I really think that guys like Thomas Hickey, like Matt Donovan, like Brian Strait, those three guys got to really keep
their
eye on
themselves. They're going to have a strong camp.
A very strong camp. I mean, last year we kept talking about Matt, and of course we talked with his mom in the beginning of the season. You know, we said he had to come out and play hard and play strong, and he did, and he made the team that way. But he's really going to have to – these three guys, especially with the Pulocks and Luke Dukes and Griffin Reinhardt and all these guys that are clawing on the back. And don't forget, you got T.J. Brennan, who – was amazing at the AHL level, score averaging over a point a game, and is a guy that's just has not been able to crack an NHL lineup and deserves his opportunity. So he's another one that's going to come into the fold and make that question tough for Garth to make.
Yeah, it's going to be it'll be interesting to see who actually is the six guys who are going to be taking the ice on October 11th.
Yeah, well, you figure there's, again, you're going to have a 23-man lineup, so obviously you're going to have six there and
right.
Possibly one or two that are going to be the extra guys. You know, you look at a Matt Karkner who's got one year left on his contract, and, you know, we don't know, you know, if he's, you know, there's a possibility he may not make it. You know, I mean, again, the crowd is pretty tight, and I got a chance to talk to, as I was saying before, I got a chance to talk to Josh Hosang for a couple of minutes, and what impressed me, and again, a lot of people talked about how he is opinionated and, you know, may say the wrong things, but he is very well-spoken, seems to be an extremely intelligent young man, and I think he gets what his role is right now. I mean, he obviously knows that, yeah, there could be a possibility, a long shot possibility, but he knows he's trying to basically eat up as much information and as much data as he can so he could take it back to Junior and hopefully explode this season.
And yeah, and from speaking to people about the some of the YouTube footage of his moves and some of the plays he makes, it's, you know, this might have been a real steal by Garth and a real intelligent pick.
Yeah, I mean, you knew it was going to be somewhere that it was going to be obviously a year, 2 years down the road. Michael Del Col is the same way. You know, he is a big kid, and I think maybe, you know, in both cases, Hosang's in him maybe a little bit too raw right now to be at this NHL level, but you give him that extra year
right
to build up. And that leads us to some of the other young forwards that we've seen during the year. Obviously, Ryan Strome and Anders Lee both have big pivotal years coming up. You know, this is their chance to really crack. I mean,
right.
Do the kind of job that, let's say, that Brock Nelson did last season,
right,
and established his mark. So we can do a little bit of our talking with our guest that just arrived. And, again, let me preface this by saying, again, a big thank you and a welcome again to Islanders General Manager Garth Snow. Garth, it's Gary and John on Sports Talk 1240. Good evening, and are you up in Newfoundland right now?
No, actually, still in Long Island. We have a 7:30 flight tomorrow, and then we kick off our preseason with a doubleheader against the Ottawa Senators. But Gary, John, thanks for having me. Had a lot of fun last year when we did this too.
Yeah, absolutely. And we realized that, you know, we have an early night. We have a bunch of questions to get into 20 minutes, so we'll try to do as quick as we can. But you know, I asked you this last year, and I'll start by asking it again. Does this excitement ever get old?
No, whenever you have a training camp, and you know, when it turns from summer to fall, the crisp air is in the air. It's always an exciting time to be a hockey player, involved with hockey, a hockey fan. You know, it's the time of the year that no one's lost a game in this league, and everyone's excited for the season.
Well, it must be a you know, kind of an odd situation that, you know, usually the moves that are made in the off season by the Islanders is usually always, you always have that controversy out there. But it's kind of been a strange thing for me to read a lot of stuff from the NHL pundits saying how, you know, the Islanders probably improve the most out of all the NHL teams. How is this a strange feeling for you to be in? Usually you're under the microscope and you know, all of that stuff. So how does that make you feel?
Well, it feels good in regards to, you know, people recognize we have some solid players and players who I think are going to help us get to where we need to be. And I think it started with the trade with Washington to get Yaroslav Halak rights. That probably started that process a lot earlier for our club. And you know what? It seems that whenever I talk to people who are avid fans of the Islanders, they love the way the team's been shaping up, and they can't wait for the season to start. So I feel the same way. I'm excited about, you know, the rookie camp we had last week, our first 3 days of main camp, and anxious to get the preseason started and see what we have and see how things shake out.
Speaking of the start of camp, just looking at the roster and look at the number, is this an unusually large camp that you have to basically split up into three groups instead of two, or is it just something that just seemed to work with the amount of guys that were available and ready to go for camp?
Well, I think it's probably unusual. We haven't had a camp of this size probably for several years ago. We had one with 60-plus players. I think it's probably a byproduct of the depth that we've built. Our draft picks are getting signed. You know, we obviously added a significant amount of depth in the offseason, so Yeah, it's something new here. The last few years, we've usually had two groups. We have three groups this year, and we're pretty close to our 50 contract limits. So I think, a combination of several different things as to why we have as many groups or as many bodies in camp that we do.
And this is definitely going to create quite a bit of, competition. Probably one of the, at least times in that I can remember that we have this much, competition for jobs, going into the new season. From your perspective, because this is, I get questions from friends and family all the time, specifically, let's say defensively, that seems to be the hot topic. Everybody talks about Griffin Reinhardt. What are your thoughts about him making the team?
Well, I think Griffin's performance is going to determine that question. So for us, that's, not just on D, but that forward and all through the lineup. That's what makes it so exciting. You're going to see who performs at a high level and earns a spot. And it's not common where we've had this many forwards and this many bodies competing, and not only competing, but they're quality players. So it's all... It's all good on that front, and whether it's Griffin Reinhardt or the other defensemen we have in our system, it's an opportunity to show what you can do and play against other teams starting tomorrow, and really the performances will dictate who's in our starting lineup.
Just take us a little bit further for that, if you could. How much of you're deciding on whether it's player A, player B, player C. Obviously, you're looking at the guys in practice and how their work ethic is and what they do and what they bring to the table. Obviously, the games are a part of it too. But how much of that decision could maybe turn up to be an intangible or something that may not necessarily be a part of his game or his results come into the decision whether you're going to pick A, B, or C into a position? We lost you? Okay, we lost Garth. Hopefully he'll give us a call back. Well, at least he wasn't in Newfoundland. At least we know it wasn't the Canadian airspace or anything like that. But hopefully Garth will give us a call back. But, that's something I always wonder when it comes to, I think we're getting him back. Yep, we are getting Garth back on the phone. Garth, you there? Hold on a second. We're getting him back. He's back. Okay, Garth, you back.
Yeah, I guess I didn't like the question.
Oh, thanks. So how much?
I think we got cut off. You were asking what parts, intangibles have on a player that makes our team.
I was just wondering how much of it comes down to that. I mean, I'm not saying any, for this decision that you're making necessarily at this moment in time, but I'm saying as it goes down, can an intangible be a part of the decision?
Well, what intangible are you talking about? Are you talking about the element of fighting?
No. I'm not talking about like that. I'm just saying as far as, maybe it's, a presence in the locker room or just the way he, a player approaches, whether it's the off-ice training or things like that. Does that come into a part of the decision? And I'm not basing any bias at all. I'm just.
Yeah. You know what? I think it's a part of the ingredient, but at the end of the day, it's players that are going to help us win hockey games. And intangibles is a part of that process. So, like I said, we're looking forward to getting all these players in game situations, in the NHL competition, and see how it all shakes out.
Well, taking this from another angle, because of course this is another thing that I've read a lot out there, and a couple of people have I've had this discussion with more than a few people. Obviously, we have all of the guys vying for the defensive positions, but some people are saying that the one thing that you may not have completely addressed as far as maybe pushing the Islanders that final bit, to definitely assure a playoff spot might be a veteran defenseman. And has there been any thought or idea, since we have so many forwards under contract, of maybe trading and getting somebody elsewhere at the last second?
Yeah, we've had conversations throughout the summer, looking to address, that position that you're asking about. And you know what? There hasn't been anything that has made sense. There hasn't been anything that has been a significant upgrade as to what we have now. But we're always looking, and we're open to anything in that area where we can add to our defense. And you know what? If there's a forward that's available that will upgrade what we have, we'll take a look at that as well. So, you know, we have a situation in this league where every team is looking for a top pairing or a top four defenseman, and if you have one, you don't usually let one go. And there's been teams that have called us and called me about some of our top defensemen, and you know, you don't get rid of something that is going to help you win, and those players are tough to get, and teams aren't usually willing to part with them.
Okay, going to your level of expertise of being a goaltender over the last X number of years, just give us a little bit, you know, let other people know that don't necessarily know a lot about Yaroslav Halak. I mean, I obviously seen him, and I know his experience,
absolutely.
And he's finally obviously here going to get a chance to really solidify himself as a bona fide number one goaltender. Just give us a quick scouting report on Halak and give us an idea of what you're looking to expect from him this year.
Easy, stop the puck. You know, and as a former goalie, that's all you really pay to do is stop the puck. And obviously, there's a lot that goes into that. Is, you know, reading the play, is anticipation, obviously controlling rebounds, and Halak, you know, has a history of performing at a high level for the last several years as well, whether it was in St. Louis, whether it was in Montreal, and even his short time in Washington, he performed at a high level, and we expect that level of play to come over to the Islanders.
And sort of in the same vein, you know, addressing the number one goalie position, but you also addressed a pretty solid backup in Chad Johnson. And, you know, anybody who may not be familiar with his situation, if you give us a little background and, you know, your expectations from what, you know, what we're going to get out of Chad.
Well, Chad had a tremendous year last year in Boston. Obviously had great statistics. He's a big kid that takes up a lot of the net, and you know, when he was called upon in Boston to play, he performed at a high level. And, you know, we look for the same thing out of Chad that he did last year. So for us, you know, we addressed that position early in the off season, obviously with Halak. And then on July 1, we signed Chad to kind of solidify that position. So, you know, we feel that's one of the strengths of our team coming in this season. And obviously, goaltending is a huge part in whether you win or lose in this league, and we're excited about our goaltending for sure.
And I'm sure you're very excited to have a fully 100% captain, healthy, ready to go. From what I saw, that he looks like he's pumped up and ready. Obviously, Kalaposo after his career season again 100% and. Everybody ready to go. I'm sure there's a lot of excitement with those guys and looking forward to playing again together this season.
Yeah, you know what? They had tremendous chemistry last year. Obviously, both John and Kyle, they worked extremely hard in the off season. John and Kyle, for that matter, have looked great in the first 3 days of practice. So I don't think you'll have any concern in that area. Those two players are professionals, and John, you have one of the top players in the world. So we're excited about the prospect of having them play together, and we look forward to seeing that chemistry continue that they built off of from last year.
And I guess that you know brings to the obvious question that of course the banter and the discussions out there in Islander country is. Okay, you know, you got John and Kyle. Who is going to be the person to play on their left side? I mean, everybody seems to be indicating Brock Nelson. Is there any thoughts from the management perspective on that situation?
Well, I think we have a few different options. We're going to use the preseason to kind of experiment and see what kind of chemistry different players have in that wing. Starting tomorrow, we're going to give Josh Bailey a shot with John and Kyle in the second game against Ottawa. You have players like Grabowski. Anders Lee has played extremely well, or looked really good in the first few days of practice. Skating has improved. He's obviously a bull around the net and on the boards. We have a few different options. Like you said, Brock showed some chemistry last year playing on that line. So we're going to use the preseason to experiment with different line combinations and see which ones have chemistry.
Speaking of, you mentioned two players who I'm calling the Russian Wonder Twins, Grabowski and Kuhlman. How have they adjusted to the Long Island game so far?
Yeah, they look like they fit right in. I think they enjoy their teammates. Whenever I've observed the practices, it seems like a lot of interaction with the coaches regarding systems and positioning on the ice. So those two have fit right in, and we look forward to having them in our lineup.
How about one guy that was an interesting signing that you picked up, and it was sort of the light kind of went off in my head because I was always impressed with him when he was playing in Tampa Bay with Corey Conacher. How has he looked so far?
He's looked fantastic. Obviously very skilled, has great vision on the ice. It's going to be exciting to see what kind of chemistry. I think tomorrow he's going to start with Grabowski and Kuhlman on that line in the second game. So, he's got a history of being a high-end forward. We're excited when we signed him in July, and he's another player that just adds to the depth, and not just depth, but quality depth of the players that we have on our club.
So now, getting to this week, obviously the two games up at Mile One Stadium in St. John's tomorrow. You guys come back home on Wednesday night at the Nassau Coliseum for the one preseason home game, and then Friday night it's the New Jersey Devils at the Barclays Center. I'm sure the guys are getting a little pumped about going to be able to play there. Again, the potential, the new home starting next season. How much have you heard from some of the guys about they're looking forward to taking the train over to Brooklyn this week?
Yeah, I know the guys are excited to play in a first-class facility, something that we haven't had around here. The environment in last year's preseason game was excellent. But I think in general the players have all been pretty pumped up about playing in a facility like Barclays Center. It's obviously a great facility, and we look forward to being able to play in that type of environment.
So just lastly, before we let you go, just getting to the obviously the celebration of the last season in Uniondale, how much emphasis do you know is being put on to, I know they've made a couple of announcements for a couple of games, I assume there's going to be a lot more announcements to a lot more celebrational things that are going to be going on this season. I know I got my season tickets the other day, and they were really, really nice with the little clip on each ticket talking about a different day in Islanders history. I'm sure the Islanders have got a lot more planned for the season ticket holders and the non-season ticket holders alike this year.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of nostalgia. We're going to celebrate all the great past players, the great moments in Islander history. I think it's going to be a really fun environment game to game for our fans. And we've really embraced, those Stanley Cup winners from the past. And we look to celebrate them one last time in the old barn. And I know the alumni that I've talked to that are going to participate are really excited about coming back. And I don't want to give
too much away.
What
you.
We're going to celebrate, but I think it's going to be a fun environment for all our fans when those certain players and moments in history are celebrated.
Well, you kind of stole I was going to ask you if you could give us any insight into the type of events. I've heard things about Bobby Nystrom and some other names that have come up, but if you can't talk about it, you can't talk about it.
I'll wait to the time when those nights are released And I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. But
no, we can't blame you on that.
It's pretty cool stuff that's going to unfold here this season. And I know as an organization, we're excited to celebrate those moments with our fans.
All right, great. Well, listen, Garth, we appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your night to, you know, to come and join us. Get some sleep because you got to get up very early tomorrow morning.
I know this is way past my bedtime, but thanks again for having me.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
We wish you all the best of luck and look forward to talking to you during the season.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. All right, so that was Garth Snow, general manager of the New York Islanders. If you want to give us a call in the second half hour of the show to talk about some of the things he mentioned, or even talk about the other two New York local teams as we're going to get into the Metropolitan Division in the second half hour. The number to reach us is 631-888-8811, or go to at SportsTalk1240 or at aisle section 317 if you want to contact me. We're going to take a little two-minute commercial break to pay our bills, and we'll be back on Sports Talk 1240 WGBB.
Sports Radio New York and AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB, or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA, or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, ride share, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
Okay, and we're back again doing a little sponsorship commercial. This show has been proudly sponsored by Country Foot Care of Mineola and Williston Park. Dr. Stephen Brook is a podiatrist, and along with his staff, provide highly personalized expert foot care on Long Island. In a fast-paced world, their experts understand the value of slowing down, pampering their patients, and offering a convenient one-stop podiatric setting. From on-site diagnostic testing to their medical foot spa, whatever you need for your foot and ankle concerns is there. Again, if you need to reach them, you can contact their offices at 516-741-FEET or stop by their offices on 155 Mineola Boulevard in Mineola or on 479 Willis Avenue in Williston Park. You can check out their website at www.countryfootcare.com. Not only does Dr. Brooks sponsor the show, but I am also a patient of his, and I absolutely recommend him should you be in the need of podiatric assistance. So, good interview with Garth.
Yeah, I think so. I think we hit all the major points.
Yeah, I think we did, and definitely he's pumped up for the season, and I think he really should be, give him a little bit of a pat on the back because I think he did a great job of what he wanted to do. Obviously, you're not going to get a Sidney Crosby or a you know, that type of a player to come in, but he fulfilled his needs. Obviously, the goaltending was the most important need, and he got not one but two capable guys to take care of things.
Well, it's scary, like I was saying to him. It's, you know, I didn't say it this way, but it's kind of scary when I'm reading, like, articles written on NHL.com that are praising the job that he did in the offseason, because usually, you know, the Islanders are the ones being trashed for the moves.
Yeah, we're used to that, unfortunately. But I just want to take a couple of minutes, John, and if you don't mind, and let me just...
Well, we talked about this before.
We talked about this before, but I want to make sure that I get something across. You know, there's a lot of people, unfortunately, that have to make a decision during this season about their season tickets and if they're going to make the attempt to go to Brooklyn next year. I mean, it's a big decision. You know, it's unfortunately for a lot of people that live further east of the Coliseum, myself included, you included.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to make the trek, you know, is kind of tough. You know, and unfortunately, there was an article that was posted in Newsday today, and there was a quote from my wife. Actually, they tried to talk to me too, but I didn't really want to make an opinion per se on an article talking about fans. I mean, I am a fan. You know that. My support never wavers, but I also do this, and I didn't feel it was my place. But my wife basically has an opinion about what's going on. Her support of the Islanders has never, ever wavered one iota and probably never, ever will. However, although we're very happy that the team is still here, we're very happy the team is not going anywhere outside of this New York metropolitan area, but it's tough for a lot of families, a lot of people, especially people who live on the further eastern part of the island, to make the commitment and the trek 41 times a year to Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's just
obviously it's a financial concern. You know, and in my case, and I'll use myself as the example, I'm in and out. I'm working a contract job, but I've been out of full-time employment for 5 months. You know, my wife is retired. And, you know, we're on a limited budget. And to know that, obviously, you're going to a new, better facility, you know ticket prices are going to increase. You know, it's a fact of life. You know
right.
It's going to happen. Also, you know that instead of driving your car to the game and only having the expense of maybe a couple of dollars in gas, you're going to have to spend, at least in my case, it would be a $25 per person round trip ticket to Brooklyn on the Long Island Railroad.
Right, and a long commute.
Which will get home to, you know, an hour and a half to 2 hours later than you would normally if you drive. Is it a problem for a lot of people? Probably not. Is it a concern for us? Yeah, it's a concern for us. But I will tell you right now, and I'm saying this on the air, and my wife will stand behind me when I say this. It doesn't take anything away from my support of this hockey team. It will never, ever, ever, ever take it away. And I hope no one, and I mean no one, tries to tell me that I have to say something different, because I won't. That's just where I'm going to leave it at this point. I mean, I will go to games in Brooklyn. Yes, I'm not going to leave it permanently. No way. I can't do that. That the Islanders are a part of my life. It's where I met my wife. It's where I have a lot of my best friends in the world, whether they're Islander fans or NHL hockey fans that I've met through the years at conventions and other things like that. It is a part of my life. It's not going away. It's not going to get diminished. Unfortunately, due to circumstances that are beyond our control, we as spoiled Islander fans over the last 20, Claire, in my case, over the last 25 years plus, you know, aren't going to have the luxury anymore. So we are not going to be able to go to 41 games a year. But it's not going to take away any interest that we have of this team. It never will. And I hope that as an organization, that they're going to understand that, unfortunately, people are going to, unfortunately, not be able to take part like they used to because of similar situations. And I hope they are they eventually will be respectful of that. But anyway, let's move on. We didn't talk about the other two teams, obviously, because Gar Snow doesn't want to talk about the Rangers or the Devils. But we are a New York sports radio station, and we're going to talk about them. Obviously, the Rangers made a great run in April, May, and June, as Derek Wasiak will kindly attest to, being a little bit unfortunately bummed out that the L.A. Kings took them out in the finals. Looking at them on paper, I think they didn't make as many additions as I thought they'd make, and unfortunately some of those attractions I think are going to be a little bit
significant. I think it's going to hurt them a little bit. I think they lost some of their character players. And you know,
I, again, not a Ranger fan, but I love watching Brian Boyle play. To me, he's heart and soul. He's grit and guts. You know, he's blood and sweat, tears, all you can imagine as a player. And, you know, he's not a big contract number, obviously, not a big salary number. And I think that's gonna hurt them in the long run. It may not, you know, it's obviously not going to bolster their front line. But missing him is another example, missing Anton Stroman on the back end. I mean, he wasn't a flashy, you know, kind of a player, but he's the kind of guy you needed.
Right. He was kind of that cog, you know. And I just think, you know, at best they may stay the same, but I really think they backslid a bit. I don't know if, you know, Derek would agree with me, but just looking at the overall picture of who they lost and who they gained, you know, I don't think, you know, Boyle is the answer.
No. I mean, he's obviously, you know, coming off a long, solid career. You know, will he be good on the power play? Absolutely.
Yeah,
will.
Sure he will.
Will he provide leadership in the locker room? I don't think they need as much, but he will. But to me, the biggest litmus test of this team, bar none, is Rick Nash.
Right.
Rick Nash has not lived up to the hype, to the expectations, and frankly, to the salary that the Dolans have paid him over the last 3 years. And you saw it in the playoffs. I mean, you know, yeah, he took the most shots in the playoffs, but what did it get him? Got him pretty much nothing.
Right.
You know, he was not at his size and his strength and his character and the type of player that he was for the Columbus Blue Jackets over those seasons. He definitely should be at a lot higher state than he is right now. To me, it's a big litmus test. I mean, if he doesn't prove himself this year, you know, people are going to say that move to get him was a bust.
Right.
And you know, I mean, you don't have to worry about that. I mean, obviously the Rangers are pretty, other than we're talking about Boyle and losing Stroman, you've got McDonough, you got Girardi, you got two solid guys on defense, and of course you got, you know, the world, or I would consider right now the world number one of the world's number one netminders in Henrik Lundqvist.
Right.
I mean, there's no question. You can make, I don't know, fans can make fun of him all they want, but the man just does things. I mean, seeing that game, you know, his Game 7 performances in the playoffs this past season shows what type of a level he can get himself to.
Right. Now, he is a year older.
He's a year older, but he's still at the top, I think, at the top of his game. And I think another year of the tutelage of Alain Vigneault will help that team. But again, it's the question is how do they take the next step? And again, I think they're going to need big results from those, again, especially from those guys, you know, from the Rick Nashes and Marty St. Louis as well, who I think, you know, we all applaud his courage of what he had to go through in the playoffs with the passing of his mother. I mean, nobody
right.
wishes that, you know.
No.
And I like Marty St. Louis as a player. You know,
he's a good guy.
He's a good guy. He's a good soldier. He's a good person for the league. But, you know, obviously I think his top days are behind him. You know, if he can show any sign of what he showed in the playoffs and in the first 40 games of the season, that could help. Let's switch gears, go across the river and talk about New Jersey. I mean, this one's going to be a tough one. I mean, obviously the first time in 20 plus seasons, we're not seeing a number 30 in that uniform. I mean, obviously difficult. We got a caller in. All right. Again, if you want to call in and talk hockey with us, 631-888-8811. Just tell us who you are and where you're from. You're on Sports Talk 1240.
How's it going, guys? It's John from Smithtown. How are you?
Hey, John. What's going on?
Gary, how are you doing? Great show so far.
Thank you, sir.
Excellent, excellent interview.
Oh, I appreciate it. And, again, John appreciates you filling in for him.
Oh, no. It was my pleasure. And, you know, John, we missed you that time.
Yeah, thanks. I was going to try to call in that night, too.
But I want to touch up what you said, Gary, about the ticket sales. As myself, as a season ticket holder, I actually ended my season tickets this year, which probably was the wrong thing to do because it's the last year, and I heard they're having all these promotions going on, and the tickets are supposed to be awesome, especially the last game. They're going to have, like, a frame. They're going to give you, the first season tickets they heard, and then when they very first started back in 72 till now, they're going to do some kind of, like, anniversary tickets or something like that.
Yeah, but there's a lot of things that are going to be going on. I know that.
I just the way the prices were going up, I just for me sitting all the way down there, I couldn't afford $9,000 anymore. And going to Brooklyn, it would just be
you're further east than we are, so you know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'll tell you the truth. I mean, we did our research, and from Huntington, there's a 5:10 train that goes. We obviously would have to change to Jamaica to get to Brooklyn. The next train after that is 6:30. I mean, you have a 7 o'clock game. That 5:10 train, if you catch the connection on time, would get you in at 6:35. Now, for people like Claire and myself, who work the kiosk at the Coliseum, first of all, we're there at 5:45. Which means we'd have to take like a 4-something train in order to get there on time.
Right.
It's just
that, yeah.
Unfortunately the feasibility is not there, and you know there it's hard to say, and it's hard to stomach, you know, unfortunately that we're not. I mean, believe me, you know, there's nothing more
I love the Islanders more than anything. It's, you know, I'm a hockey football guy, hockey. I love the Islanders like you guys are passionate about the Islanders like I am as well. And it hurts me too. I'm upset over the whole thing too. And I was talking to Clark Gillies last year, and we were going over this vote that Nassau County did. And he lives out in Suffolk County, and he said, you know, there's so many Suffolk County residents that are Islander fans. He goes, I don't know why they didn't loop them into the vote with Nassau, and it would have passed.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have passed because I don't think anybody would have complained about raising our taxes a little bit.
And let me just,
it's really nothing. It was like $100 a year.
Yeah. And let me just add on to my little statement. Never ever 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 have I blamed the Islanders for this situation.
No.
The blame falls on one entity right now, and that belongs to the town of Hempstead.
Yep.
Because this whole thing became a political sideshow.
Yeah, with Kate Murray.
I mean, you look at places, again, you know, I don't know how many arenas you've been to, John. I know you've been to a couple. I've been to like 25 different arenas. And it's amazing how all these other, you know, legislative places and wherever cities or states you're in, they're able to get this done like lickety-split. But this whole thing was a not-in-my-backyard deal. You know, everybody was saying, oh, you can't do it here, you can't do it here. All they have to do is go to these other places and see what these arenas and these facilities have done for their taxes, have made such unbelievable...
It would have brought more jobs in for
more jobs, more revenue, and that's the bottom line. This is what Long Island needs, is revenue.
Right.
Now, it's kind of a shame that we're going to be going. They're going to be going to Brooklyn. It just, you know, but it's disheartening. I will still go to a few games. I'm not going to, you know...
That's the point I was trying to make, and our loyalty is never going away.
No,
just like anybody else's team. You know, you're loyal to your team. You stay with your team no matter what happens. You know, I mean, granted, you know, we're still in Brooklyn. If God forbid this team, you know, the deal didn't fall somehow, it went somewhere else. If it went to say Seattle or it went to Kansas City, you know what? I hate to tell you, I'd still be rooting for those guys because that's my organization.
Wherever they're going,
that's my organization. That's where I belong. That's where my loyalty resides with. So believe me, any of those guys like Derek Wasiak that would probably want to say, "Why don't you join the Ranger bandwagon?" The answer's no, my friend.
Exactly.
It's no. I'm screaming like Derek does. It's no.
I'm gonna say two more things before I go. I just want to say when Garth mentioned about the doubleheader coming up there tomorrow and. Bailey's gonna be up there starting with Oppoza and Tavares.
Yeah.
I cringed, okay? Because my opinion, Bailey would be the last guy. last guy on that team. That
I understand. I understand your feelings, but
he did have a little chemistry in the playoffs again. You know, against Pittsburgh.
But there was no chemistry at all last year. He did nothing last
year. No, no. But you know what? This is a huge litmus test right now. Yes, he did give him the big contract.
He gave him the big contract, and he dropped the ball.
You know what? And he's not. Exactly. He's not. Again, Garth's not going to pull his cards out and say, quote unquote, that I'm going to look to move a guy like a Josh Bailey. But you know, by doing this, John, he is basically putting him up and saying, look, this is your time to do something. If you don't do something, I guarantee something's going to happen.
Right.
This is basically the last shot, in my honest opinion.
Hopefully,
and it's one game. It doesn't mean it's one preseason game. It doesn't necessarily mean, you know, it's due now or you're done.
No,
but this is kind of the push. You know, it's kind of like gently pushing your young kid when he's riding a bike for the first time, just to get them going, just to get them moving in the right direction. And then he's going to let go, and if he doesn't do the job, he's going to fall.
Right.
And I want to just bring up the thing about I think the Islanders got a major upgrade this year, and I think the Rangers have gone down. And I know a lot of Rangers fans aren't going to like to hear this, but
from you, John, come on.
They got Nash on that team. You know, Nash has done nothing.
Well, that's why I said he's the big enigma. He's the big enigma. I mean, if he's doing one third of what he did in Columbus and the type of impact he was making on the Columbus franchise to the Ranger franchise, honestly, frankly, I think the cup would have been in Manhattan.
Like I said, you know, like if you're an average hockey fan that doesn't follow the Rangers or anything, you turn on the Stanley Cup and you see last year, you wouldn't realize that Nash is supposed to be a superstar on that team. But you would, you know, Boyle, you would bring up these other guys, you know, Zuccarello, you know. These are guys that you say, who's this Nash guy? This Nash guy's supposed to be he's there for scoring goals.
Yeah, you don't have a $7.5 million salary for
right.
nothing.
Exactly. Right. But look, great show. I'm listening, and you guys did a great job. And once again, you knocked it out of the park.
Well, thank you, my friend.
And thank you for taking my call.
And make sure the check is in the mail, okay, John?
Yeah.
All right, man.
Guys,
thanks for calling. All right, take it easy.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, so back to the Devils. I think they have the Devils at like, according to the Hockey News, at like 66-1 odds to win the Cup. They have the Islanders at 62, okay, a little bit higher. They have the Carolina Hurricanes at 150-1.
Wow.
Yeah, they are the highest ranked odds to win the Cup, and I'll put it up on the pedestal right now. I say that the Islanders will battle for third and fourth.
Yeah, I think so.
I think if all things stay, and again, judging by the fact that the team ended up with, I think it was an .896 save percentage last year combined, maybe .899,
right.
maybe something.
Yeah.
It was under .900, I guarantee you that. Putting it what Halak and Johnson did, obviously Chad Johnson played for an unbelievably strong defensive Boston Bruins team. Is he going to give you the same numbers? I don't think he's going to give you the same numbers. But if he gives you a .905, that's still an improvement over what they had
right.
the last year. Halak, you expect from his past experience and his abilities to be in the .915 to .920 range, even with this defense as young as they are. If you put that .915, .920 save percentage on this Islander team, I guarantee you they just won eight games, extra
right.
games, right
Easy,
there,
easily.
So you figure maybe half of them on the half of them in shootout, half of them in regulation. You're talking that's 10 to 12 points. That's the 12 points they were out of the playoffs.
Right.
So that puts them right there. Again, you have a healthy Tavares, a full season. You know, he missed obviously the last 30 games. Oposo missed the last 10, 15 games. You know, guys got hurt. If they keep themselves afloat, you're definitely talking them battling for that.
Right.
7-8 playoff spot. And that's not even with guys going above expectations. I'm just saying that's guys playing at the level that I think they can. You know, John was talking about Bailey. I mean, Bailey's under the big litmus test. I mean, I hope to God that he had the toughest 12 weeks of his life coming to now.
Right.
And my wife, who's a big Josh Bailey fan, is probably crossing,
well, my nephew is a very
crossing
big,
her fingers yeah. and crossing her toes and everything else that goes with it, hoping that he's done exactly the same thing because, you know, he's had enough passes. You know, this is his final chance. And, you know, I mean, obviously, I don't think he's going to end up being on their line to start the season. I still think it's Brock Nelson's to
yeah.
lose based off that world championship that he was remarkable in.
Yes.
You know, but again, you talk about an Anders Lee, you talk about a Ryan Strome. Strome put some pounds on this summer, like I hoped he did. He looks a lot bigger. Anders Lee is a monster. I mean, there's no question about that. Talking about defensemen, we were talking about this at the pre-camp. Josh Mayfield looks even bigger than he did last year. And to me, he stepped up his game 1,000% the last 30 games in Bridgeport and then that 10-game run that he had up with the big club. Again, it's a big decision there. I mean, because, you know, who are you going to say are definites right now? You're obviously going to say Hamannik's a definite. You're obviously going to say Vishnowski's a definite.
Right, those two guys, easily.
I mean, other than that, crapshoot.
Right, because it could be anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I mean, you got Strait, you got Donovan, you got Brennan.
You got Hickey.
You know,
Karkner.
I mean, yeah, Karkner, you got to add in the equation for his experience and his stuff in the locker room. And then you got to add Griffin and Ryan Pulak, you know, and possibly Scott Mayfield. You know, Aaron Ness did a yeoman job last year, but he's too small.
Oh, we got Calvin DeHaan.
Forgetting. How can we forget Calvin DeHaan? His second half was remarkable.
Yeah, he just
the top. To me, he's one of the top two high hockey IQs on this team. Either him or JT, either one of them, just interchange him. But you know, it's going to be it's a tough decision. But what makes it better is you're going to have a very strong team in Bridgeport next year. And they didn't. That was the problem. They had guys up there that played their tails off, but it wasn't the type of an AHL team you're expecting. So the guys that don't make this team are going to go to Bridgeport and they're going to be really peeved. They're going to be really ticked off, and they're going to work their tails off to try to get back in the crack of the lineup.
Right.
Which means that Bridgeport team is going to be very strong.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're going to have Kevin Poole in there all year long, unless, I mean, God forbid, if something one of the guys gets hurt. So Kevin Poole is going to be your number one guy. You know, he's had his problems up and down, you know, the last couple of years here. But he's going to get a chance to play 60 games in Bridgeport. So hopefully he solidifies his game. But you're going to have all those defense up there, plus the other guys that don't make the team, the depth guys. They got the Jack Skills and a bunch of Colton Gillies, which is Clark's nephew, who got the tryout. He'll probably end up in Bridgeport. Bridgeport's going to have a strong team. And they're going to have guys that are clamoring to get back in the lineup. So they're going to do whatever they got to do,
right.
which is good for Garth, because that makes healthy competition, and it makes the guys down there just as important as the guys that are up here playing with the big time.
Right.
So anyway, we got about three more minutes, right? Three more minutes, Bri? Okay. So it was a fun show. Again, we want your feedback, folks. Anybody that's listening to the show right now, my Twitter handle is at aisleSection317. John's is at Hockey Blindside?
Yeah.
Hockey Blindside. And again, at Sports Talk 1240. Let us know how we did. Let us know if you got any follow-up stuff. Again, we can always bring questions up to Garth if I get to him during either the preseason game or during the season. We gladly do that, too. He's never been amiss not to answer a question from me. I think we've got a pretty good relationship, both John and I, with him. I especially do over the last few years. And again, I thank Garth from the bottom of my heart for coming on. I mean,
definitely.
This is the third time we've had him on as a guest.
It's just great that he takes the time out, especially tonight when he's got to get up at, for a 7:30 flight. I mean,
yeah.
It's just amazing.
Yeah, well, he'll probably be cursing us under his breath at 7 o'clock when he's getting on the plane. Anyway, we're not back, I don't think, until the middle of October. It's not up on the schedule yet. I know Rob, who runs our website, sportstalk1240.com, will update that and let us know when the next show is. I'm looking to hopefully secure possibly a good old friend that we had a long time ago on the show, because we know it is over a year now we've been on. Last August was our first show, John.
Right.
So I want to get the guy, hopefully try to get the guy that did our first show. And if any of you guys, people listening that know who that is, send us a tweet and tell us who that was. It was our first guest on our first show that John and I did on Sports Talk 1240. Maybe we'll find a little gift to give to you. So make sure you tweet at aisleSection317 with that answer. And we'll make sure we get a little token out to you for listening. But hopefully we'll get there. Again, we got 2 minutes. And again, John, as always, thank you for deciding to come back. I know you had to go on a cruise and that, just rub it in, doing all your little things with your job at Apple, helping out with Apple. And
Somebody's got to do it.
But,
why not me?
But again, thank you for coming back. It was fun as always. Next Sunday night at 8 o'clock, Ray Moore and Brian White will be on. I know they usually talk a lot of basketball. They should be getting back into that soon, as by that time preseason for basketball will be starting in about 2 or 3 weeks. And then Eric Getzoff will be taking over at the 9 o'clock hour, and should be a very interesting show. Also, want to wish our best, send our best wishes to Bill Donahue.
Yes, Mr. Bill,
who is a little under the weather. Hopefully, he is doing better. I hear he is, and hopefully, he gets to listen to the show. If he's not listening live, he listens on the podcast. And we wish you good health, Bill, and hopefully you get better soon. And
we need you back.
Need you back on the air, my friend. We miss your great shows. So, all right. So another 2 hours of Sports Talk 1240 has ended on Sports Talk 1240 WGBB, along with John Panarese. This is Gary Harding. We wish you a wonderful week. The next time we talk, hockey is going to be in full swing,
that's right.
And hopefully we'll be punching around Derek Wasiak a little bit, both you and I and John Sweeney. But again, for John Panarese, this is Gary Harding for Sports Talk 1240 WGBB. In the words of my good friend Bill Hayes, the late Bill Hayes, keep skiing, everybody. Good night, and take care.
Views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.